Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. Yes, we celebrate the FA Cup reaching the second qualifying round this weekend. Step two clubs enter the four, and at FA Cup Fact Bar, Philonets runs us through some of the most interesting stats and facts as some of the clubs taking part look for their fourth win of the season in the greatest cup competition in the world. One of those is Hereford United, a Step 5 club who've already dumped out the in-form Step 3 club in the previous round, and they're now looking for another scalp from that same division. Their boss is certainly no stranger to non-league, both as a player and as a manager, and Wayne Carter is clearly loving the challenge, directing his young squad to memories that he knows will stay with them forever. Matt Badcock is on hand from the non-league paper this week. More managerial moves, more clubs facing unplanned problems, and what we really should be reading into with the embryonic table standings. Of course, there's plenty to come. Time to sit back, relax, and get matters underway. We'll start this week with the FA Cup, the second qualifying round this weekend. The arrival of 48 clubs from Step 2, 112 clubs progressed from Steps 3, 4 and 5 from previous rounds, and that means 160 clubs, if my maths is still fairly accurate. And they demand the attention of my first guest. He's back with his at FA Cup Factfile hat on. It's always a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Mr. Phil Annetts at FA Cup Factfile. Welcome back, Phil.
Hi Tim, yes, good to be back. This is a good stage of the FA Cup, isn't it, when we've got these Step 2 sides, National League sides, coming in for those Step 5 sides that have made it this far. This is when it starts getting a bit real, especially if they've got a tie against someone from that level of the pyramid.
Yeah, of course, and in the second qualifying round, those clubs from the National North and National South, they include some big name clubs as well, and they're all going to fancy their chances, aren't they? That's why they're in Step 2. They're all going to fancy a good cup run this season, but some will fall this round at the first attempt. Any chance of a three-step cup set?
Well, there are several ties where that is an opportunity, and we've got to hope that, as someone who loves to see the surprises and the romance of the FA Cup, that we do get to see one. I think we've got Darlington have got to put themselves up at West Didsbury and Chawton, so that's going to be a new ground for them and a new experience for them. So there's one big name that is testing themselves against lower league opposition. And so, yeah, there's some good ties there for some of the Step 2, for some of the Step 5 clubs to take on Step 2 opposition and really test themselves in a game where they might not necessarily get the opportunity to do so again.
Yeah. Is it 16 clubs remaining from Step 5? No all Step 5 ties, but there are plenty of ties guarantee a club notching their fourth win of the season in the competition, I think.
Yeah, that's right. So all the Step 5 clubs have been kept apart, but there are several that are facing Step 4 opposition that also started in the extra Premier round. So the winners of those ties will have already won four matches in the competition this season, which, when you think about how many of the winners have to win just to take the title, then that's quite a lot. And we've also got Astrid United, who take on Corinthian FC, where actually a win for either of those two sides would take them into the third qualifying round for the very first time. So all to play for in that game, where the winners will be setting themselves a new club record.
No, oh, I love, we love a bit of history. One of those other clubs, I think, that have come through from that extra preliminary round could be Amersham Town. And they might have thought that maybe FA Cup magic wasn't to be for them, given their previous seasons.
Yeah, so they've returned to the FA Cup for the first time in quite a considerable number of years. And they'd had six previous campaigns and had failed to win a single game in those matches. And now they've already won three this season with a chance against, I think, Burgess Hill Town. Away from home, yes, against the one step above. But the way that they're playing, they've got to believe that maybe they can get a fourth win out of four. And you never know, they might even get six out of six and completely cancel out the six that they lost already beforehand.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I think there's a number of clubs equaling their best FA Cup run so far this year, playing this weekend. I think it's eight clubs that already equaled their run. There's going to be others that are ties where whoever wins, then that winner's going to be equaling at least their best run in the competition ever. It is, as you said at the opening there, this round just seems to have that extra element of magic and excitement.
Yeah, very much so. So we've got Farsley Celtic who take on Hallam FC, who the winner of that tie will equal their best ever run. And one of the good things about the Hallam story is that they're also joined in this round by Sheffield FC. So that's the two oldest football clubs in the country, supposedly, who have made it into the second qualifying round together for the first time, and only the third time ever, for the first time in 66 years. So it's quite a significant achievement quite a significant moment for those two clubs. If they can both get through, it would be a first for the two oldest clubs in the world.
Wow, quite a significant achievement for you to identify that as well, Phil. That's why we love you for your facts. History, of course, is created when sides meet each other, and a multitude of ties that feature clubs who've met before in the competition.
Yeah, there's quite a few. About 28 or so of the 80 ties have happened before in the past. The Gainsborough Trinity Grantham Town tie is actually going to be the 10th time the two clubs have been drawn together in the FA Cup. First met back in the 1885-86 season. So that's what, 29 years ago. No, you weren't there, no. you may well have seen them in their last tie back in 1986. But, I think they're both in the same county of Lincolnshire. I'm not 100% sure on my geography. But, 10th time, Gainsborough have a slight advantage with a 5-4 win advantage in past meetings. So, that'll be a great local derby and rekindling old foes against each other.
Yeah, Grantham then a chance to level the scores. Always a good one. I guess Gainsborough Trinity, Grantham Town, that's a Barker tie as well. There seems to be a number of Barker ties this round.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, it's nice to see the Barker ties where the two clubs have the same initials. One in particular that stands out is Hastings United versus Harefield United. Mm-hmm. They've met each other one time before in the FA Cup, where I think Hastings ran out 4-0 winners. So this would be great for Harefield if they can get a revenge in that tie. They struggled to get past this round. They've made it this far six times previously, so this will be their seventh time appearing in the second qualifying round, but have yet to make it to the next round. So it would be sweet for them if they could not only avenge a past defeat, but also set a new club record for themselves.
Yeah, and interesting one. H seems to be the magic letter as well there. I'm looking at some of the other Barker ties. I love the fact that Hastings United and Hereford United, is that like a pure Barker tie, isn't it? similarly, Buxton Barwell. I mean, that's got to be the ultimate Barker tie. Well, but, I mean, Herne Bay against Hendon, Hornchurch against Hashtag United. Is H the most popular letter for non-league football clubs?
I did a stat a while ago. I can't remember the exact number, but there was, I think, 12% of all clubs in the FA Cup started with the letters HA, which I just thought was a phenomenal number. Mm. And so it might be in of the non-league clubs. But it was like, you know, we all the way through to, I guess, to Hayes and Yedding United, as you'll know, is one of those. So it's a quite an unusual combination. Well, not unusual, but quite unusual for that same combination to be so prominent. And, you know, H is also something of significance for Ilkeston Town, surprisingly, because this is only their 14th FA Cup tie this Q2 round, and they're drawn against their fifth different club, beginning with the letter H in the shape of Hereford. So they've got some kind of link with the letter H, weirdly, having played in a town in the last round. It just seems to be something that's attracted to them in the cup competition.
The magic of the H. And of course, yeah, there's limited science to any predicting of FA Cup results, so we might as well look at a bit of alphabetical scrutiny, mightn't we? And just showing your influence is rubbing off on me, I did note that even the FA Cup bag that supplies the magic balls seems to be enjoying following the alphabet. Because we've mentioned tie 18 there, as it was drawn, those two Gs, Gainsborough Trinity against Grantham Town. Tie 19, we've also mentioned there, Hereford against Ilkeston. So that's G-H-I. I was looking for a J in tie 20, but guess what we get? We get K and L. Kidderminster Harriers against Link Town. I mean, where's Jersey Balls when we need them? And of course, they're just not competing this year because of the replay situation.
Yes. No. Yeah, no, I didn't notice that myself, but yes, well spotted. I'm glad I'm training you to look out for these things. Spreading my nerdness, I suppose, across the world. So thank you for that. I'm glad I'm not the only one who was looking at. But yes, I'm following the Kidderminster tie with Kettering. So the Kidderminster obviously was making up for the J by putting putting them in just before Kettering Town.
It's I'm very proud to have spotted it, Phil, and I'm very proud that it's your influence rubbing off on me. I think we've got three early Saturday ties, two at 1 p.m. and then the 12:30 p.m. Lordswood against Sittingbourne, that game live on the BBC Red Button. Two on the Sunday, lots of Saturday 3 p.m. ties. Decided where you're off to yet then, Phil?
Well, I'm going to follow the theme of the H theme, so I'm going to head off down to Hemel Hempstead Town as they take on Bishop Stortford. I've wanted to go there for quite some time, and they're doing very well, aren't they, in the National League South. So hopefully I'll be able to see a good, entertaining game.
It looks like it will be a very entertaining game. Any other stats that we should be aware of as we go around the clubhouses and bars of non-league football this weekend to impress our friends?
I just want to point out on Shifnal Town, who don't often get very much attention, but they're in the second qualifying round for the first time in 41 years. And they take on Redditch United from two steps above. So they've only gone beyond this round once, and that was to the fourth qualifying round that time. So, yeah, big moment for them. Big opportunity to celebrate their own history, but also potentially get even more history under their belt.
Yeah, I mean, if they pull off the cup set there, I think, you know, we're talking about clubhouses and bars, I think they might still be celebrating by the time they have to play the next round tie if they win that one. But it's all great for non-league football, all great for the FA Cup. As you are, of course, Phil, where can people find out more of all your stats and keep up to date with all the facts that you supply us for, well, all the FA Cup competitions?
Yeah, so I'm very prominent, I guess, on Twitter / X, and FA Cup Fact File is a key one for me for the FA Cup competition, but you can also follow me on FA Vars Fact File and FA Trophy Facts for those two respective competitions, where you can get access to all my previews and reviews of each round.
Good stuff. As ever, Phil, and it's always a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. We appreciate all your hard work and all your help. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, Tim. You too. Thanks.
So let's stay with the FA Cup then, and indeed a tie mentioned there by Phil Annette is Hastings United against Harefield United. A chance for a cup set for the Step 5 visiting side, but then they're no strangers to that anyway. Holding in-form Lewis from Step 3 to a draw at Preston Park the last round, they went down to Sussex, held them to extra time in the replay, then beat them 4-2 on penalty. So how's he preparing for his next giant killing then? Let's find out. It's a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show manager of Harefield United, Wayne Carter. Welcome, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, Tim. Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to get you on. And as I mentioned, you beat top of the Isthmian Premier Lewis last round. Hastings United of the same division. They've not had a great start to the season. Does that leave you worried, excited, or all of the above?
Yeah, I think all of the above, mate, yeah. Excited for most of us, I think, for the whole club, as in, I think it's the furthest we've been as a club at this stage of the FA Cups. And the FA Cup's FA Cup, it's a great competition, especially for the non-league sides. I think we all enjoy it, as in from the National Conference ones down to where we are. So everyone's involved, everyone enjoys it. It's a good day out for everybody. And, yeah, hopefully we can make something happen.
Yeah, I mean, our stat man Phil Annette said earlier on the show that the two clubs met previously, I think, in the competition 3 years ago in the first qualifying round. They won 4-0. I mean, much has happened since then. You weren't even involved then. But do you take anything from that? Maybe to G up your lads to get a bit of revenge?
I think I've spoke to Ray Green, obviously, down at the club. He did remind me of that that time when they beat them 4-0. But that's in the past. We move on. We've got different players, different people at the club, and hopefully we can make something, like I said, happen. It's going to be a tough game. The two leagues above, we'll just go there and try our hardest, I suppose, and see how we get on.
I think Phil also told us it's the seventh time the club's been to this round yet to progress. But yeah, all records are there to be broken. You've already shown what you can do.
We go there with nothing to fear. It's a free hit for us. They're two leagues above. They should win. But like the previous round showed, the boys put in the hard work and got themselves through to the next round. So if we prepare ourselves right, which we will, I think on any day, anyone can win a game of football. So we'll put our work rate in. They'll be together, our boys. And then obviously, hopefully there's a big crowd. I know they got a few there that, a couple of home games ago. So a big crowd for our boys to play in, which some of them we've never played in front of. Do you know what I mean? So it'll be really good for the club, really good for my boys. That's what's more for me is the boys, because the young players that I've got, hopefully they just excel in the moment.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you're a left sock first, right foot first sort of guy, but whether omens your thing or not, I was wondering, Battle of Hastings, 10:66. Surely the coach leaves at 66 minutes past 10, doesn't it? 11:06 departure?
Yeah, I think we're going a little bit early in that. We're having to stop off so some boys can get something to eat, just to stretch their legs halfway down. Funny enough, one of the players did, once we beat Lewis, he did put through the Battle of Hastings in one of his tweets. So, yeah, it's all there, isn't it? It's just a great time for us as a club, to be honest.
Yeah, and as you say, a coach trip, it's probably not every week, every away game that happens. Does that help you build when you've particularly got a young squad and sort of build that camaraderie that, yeah, we know all the best clubs are built on?
Yeah, to be honest, like the draws we've had, like obviously Sandhurst were the same level as us. So we had a coach journey to Beckenham away, which we got a result there. And obviously the coach was really buzzing, bouncing on the way home. As some of the youngsters probably not used to a coach journey. Some of the other players have done it before, so they'll be used to it. But yeah, it's good, especially for the youngsters, to see how it does go at non-league level, because a lot of them watch the telly and the way they come home, prepare for professional footballers is completely different from Step 5's point of view.
Yeah, and week in, week out, we also say that the chairman-manager relationships are also important for success. Gary South, your chair, is a special sort.
Yeah, Gary's good as well. Listen, they're all in it together. In my eyes, we all like go from Dawn, which is Ray Green's wife, and then Ray Green himself, Gary, John Lewis. Like we've been stuck together since I took over, really.
Yeah.
So it's sort of everyone in it together, not so much just me and Gary. We're all sort of part of it, as in stroke, my number two, Mark Hook, the kit man, everybody. The whole club's got to be in it together, otherwise it won't work and we won't be doing what we're actually doing at the moment. So,
yeah, and your Hereford United is actually Middlesex's oldest club, I think formed in 1868. Neither you or I were around then, but you've been around long enough in football locally to realise that there is a different sort of vibe at Hereford than you probably even experience at other local non-league clubs when you play, you know, like Wealdstone, Uxbridge, Northwood, Hayes and that. he's got it's something magical about Airfield, isn't it? And matching that up with the FA Cup magic, he's got to be a winner.
Yeah, but obviously the FA Cup gets you a long way, doesn't it? Like, as you see, sort of, it's Sittingbourne got on the red button this time. I was hoping it might have been us. But yeah, I think the FA Cup is just, it's like you just said, it's magical. It's been since I was a kid, and you probably yourself as a kid, like FA Cup Day, you all sat around the TV to watch whoever it was. It didn't matter who was in it, whether you supported them or not. You watched the cup final. And I know that sort of drifted out a little bit with Champions League and money and stuff. But like I said, for the non-league clubs, it's just like a massive opportunity for every club to just get a bit of press, as me being on the phone to you today. Yeah, it's just nice for the club to get recognised, because like you said, oldest club in Middlesex, haven't been really noticed as in for a long time. I don't, they've done well in the Vars a few years ago. But yeah, the FA Cup's the big one where you get money and you get a bit of publicity.
Yeah. And the clubs as well, it's not just about the first team, the 18s, Sunday side, what, strong juniors, strong youth, very, you know, a thriving women's set up too, all in a small village on the edge of Middlesex. So it's great to have some success that sort of creates a buzz around the place.
Well, when I first met like Gary and Ray and Phil about a few years ago, obviously Jason Shaw had they didn't lose, they were unbeaten for the whole season. And if you see the pictures from that and the crowd that actually come out, it's something that I've tried to try and get back to the club as quick as possible. Obviously, I didn't start till the end of September last season, and obviously was having a bad time. So we started to pick up, and then little bits and bobs that we do as a club, I do as myself as a manager, trying to get people in the bar and just to make it a livelier place where people can come and enjoy watch a non-league game of football, meet the players. I don't think a lot of teams now still don't get supporters to come and see the players. And the gates are picking up a little bit. But yeah, we try and just keep it an happy-go-lucky place.
Yeah, because that's one thing that, again, non-league's almost gone down the wrong track following the pro game, isn't it? With sort of almost that distance between the players. And, you know, you're a people person. You grew up in that era where you were probably made to sit in the bar with the fans by the gaffers back then. And it does, it brings everybody together. You've got a packed coach again going down to the South Coast this weekend. You must enjoy that element of being a manager with people.
Well, just not being a manager, even being an ex-player, I've always said to anybody whenever I've managed as well, I'd always had time for people in the bar. Do you know what I mean? They pay their money, which used to pay your expenses, stroke wages, whatever people want to call it at that time. And they pay their hard-earned money at your football club. And you've got to bring them in to be a part of it. And if you don't, they won't come back. And it's a big thing, especially for a small club that's down at step five. The more we get into the bar, starting to fill up a little bit. Like the boys, if we win a home game, they do their initiations in the bar, like their songs. So we try and bring everyone together. And it's exciting to have a full coach. I wish I had three full coaches, to be honest, because the crowd Hastings are going to have. I don't think we're going to out-sing them. So yeah. But like you said, it's just nice. Like for me now, just to be on the phone to you now it's just like a privilege, really, for our football club to be on now. It's beautiful.
I'm sure they'll hear your dulcet tones over the Hastings faithful. You were joint manager, of course, last time out at Hamilton. How does the dynamic differ between being a sole boss this time around?
I think it was different with being a joint manager with Chris Moore, because obviously Moore he's a good friend of mine. Like, we speak now and every day still now. So yeah, you just sort of miss the little bits and bobs you've done together, which were enjoyable, and obviously some were fun. Like, I'm not going to put what we used to do, but they were our own secrets, and they stay with me and Chris. But yeah, it's just, listen, it is what it is. Like you said earlier, I've been in football a long time, especially non-league football, and yeah, I've got my ways, which they're not Chris's ways no more. So it's more on your shoulders. And I've got to take the rap when they lose, and I take the plaudits when we win, as well as the boys will. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's not, to be fair, it don't feel much different. I think if you ask Chris the same, I probably do miss Chris on the line a few times, because we did have an enjoyable time at Hamilton. But going now on your own, like, when you go to Lewis, and listen, I can't never go just me. It's never just me. Yeah, it's like Mark Cook, my number two, and the boys. But when you do get it right, which we did as a club against Lewis, it's very, very enjoyable.
Yeah. I mean, the FA Cup going well, the combined counties Premier North, what are you, four games in, two wins, two draws. It is a bit bitty at this stage of the season with all the cup competitions. It almost takes precedence over the league. So do you sort of, where's your focus? Is it just game to game?
Yeah, listen, the whole, whenever you start a football season, for me, it's to win the league. And I've been telling the club, I don't want to hear that. At the end of the day, the club have not been as high as step five. So our plan is to just make playoffs if we can, finish as high as we can. But yeah, when we was talking, like, I spoke to Chris Moore last night, I spoke to Scott Davis from Slough today. And it's funny, like, what would you take as a manager? Like, no one winning the league and getting promoted at step five. Yeah, people around the manor will understand that. But the publicity you'd get from my players, myself, the football club, everyone around Harefield. So if you could go further in the cup, would be probably a dream come true for everybody. But yeah, the focus is always promotion. It would never ever change for me that. We say to the boys, if we go out on Saturday, I would say we would never won the FA Cup anyway. So it's, you just got to go for the ride while you're on it, but your focus has got to be your league campaign, because that's your bread and butter, as we said from back in the day. That's their week in, week out. So, and we're falling behind. Falling behind with only four games played. So,
yeah, and you won that last tie on penalties. Was that something you practiced in training?
Do you know what? No, we did last year, but this year we didn't. Because, to be honest, if I be fair with everybody, and this was not just me saying it, I always believe we can win any game of football, whoever we play. It's 11 men versus 11 men. But yeah, I think everyone thought we had one shot at it, and when we went 1-0 up, like, I didn't even think we'd get. I thought we'd go through there on a day. And you normally, when you play these sides, when I played as a player, and when I've managed, you normally the second time, they normally work you out and punish you. So we didn't really have a chance to work on it. We just literally worried about what we'd do in the game. And the boys done it perfectly. Do you know what I mean? And if I'm probably going to be asking, it's my team, Harefield, I thought we should have won within the 90 minutes compared how much possession Lewis had. But we had some great chances in that actual replay to win the game. But yeah, penalties, potluck, and I just told the boys, make sure you hit it hard and hit the target. And we got a lovely goalkeeper called Tom Clark that's done well. I think out of six penalties, he saved four. So yeah, so it's going well for him.
It sounds like it's going well for you as well. I mean, lots of sleepless nights, lots of hours on the mobile, plenty of hours away from the family, I guess. Good to be back in the dugout, though.
Listen, yeah, because when I left Amwell, went to Chertsey Town, I had nearly a year out. It was nearly enough calendar year out. Found my love of golf, and then didn't really think I was going to go back. And then, like you just said, I'm local from Middlesex. I lived in Norfolk majority of my life. I don't now live out in Berkshire, but yeah, it was because it was a local club, as in Harefield, Middlesex, where I'm from, born and bred. It was quite an easy fix for me to try and help a club out of, like you said, the magnitude of the club, it can be bigger than what I think it actually is, and we've just got to work hard to get it there. But being in the dugout, yeah, it's being with the boys. As a player, you always miss the changing room, and even as a manager, yeah, they talk bad about me when I drop them, they talk good about me when I play them, but you still have that camaraderie of training nights, change room. It's, and like, hopefully Saturday, coach journeys. Like, they're memorable moments, you know what I mean? I've got a lot of memories from my Hayes days down to my Wheelstone days, down to my Uxbridge days, like, some brilliant memories that live with you for a long time. And that's what I hope my youngsters get to have this season.
Yeah, hopefully some of those stories they can repeat on air as well. Probably none of yours can be. But Wayne Carter, it's been a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. Best of luck at the weekend and for the rest of the season. We'll speak to you soon.
Oh, lovely, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Time of the week then to head on over to a non-league paper town. There's a welcome back once again to the Non-League Football Show, editor at large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Bagot. Welcome back again, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
It's another long week in non-league, a very long week in non-league. We had, the FA Trophy last weekend. That was the big cup competition last weekend. Some big surprises. Then we had the draw for the next round on Monday. This weekend, the weather seems to think it's April with the sun, the rain and the varying temperatures around it. We've got the FA Cup, but it's only the FA Cup second qualifying round. I say only the FA Cup second qualifying round. Of course, we've got Step 2 sides coming in. What have we got? 160 ties. All very exciting. It doesn't matter what round of the FA Cup you're in. It's always the magic that keeps us going. There's going to be some grabbing headlines this weekend, and fingers crossed they're going to be making bigger headlines when we reach the proper rounds too.
Yeah, definitely. I think as we kind of said last week about how many good sort of games there are in this round, and you know they're all over the place. It's sort of too many for us to pick. We pick our picture games each week, and there's too many good games. We can't get them all in. It's it really is sort of capturing the imagination all over this one. You know, you've got West Disbury and Chorley against Darlington. Is it Nailsy and Tickenham? Yeah. We've got a big home game. Bishop's Cleeve taking on Torquay United. Now it's a Tickenham got Chippenham, haven't they? There's just big games all over the place. Newcastle Town, welcome Scunthorpe. I mean, you know, what a kind of ties and occasions it's going to be for all these clubs and players and fans involved in it. And as you say, just dreaming of that famous win, and can they get through? And you know, it is all about getting to the first round proper, generally speaking, and kind of that's where often the big focus is. But, you know, for clubs who have got these big ties on, you know, it's just the second qualifying round and the sort of clubs that they're going up against and the history that they're going up against is, you know, this is like getting to the first round for some of them as well. But also, as you say, with that chance of trying to get through and make even more memories.
Yeah, and you know that, you know, one or two of them are gonna get through, and you mentioned some of the, you know, those maybe smaller clubs that have got big games ahead of them, but then you've got other big ties like what Macclesfield, South Shields, is you know probably two sides that will be hoping rather than expecting to make it through to the first round proper, but one of them's going to be gone.
Yeah, there's a few sort of ties like that, isn't there? You know, look at Maidstone and their FA Cup run that they had last year, and how incredible that was. And I think they started against Staining Town Community at this stage, and this time they've got Hampden and Richmond, you know, a team from their own same division. They are at home, but you know, a really tough one for them to kind of kick off and try and see if they can conjure up on those incredible memories from last year. Of course, beating they beat Barrow, they beat Stevenson, and beating Ipswich was incredible. The game I was very, very lucky to be at, and you kind of can't quite believe it's happening in a strange way. And then obviously went on and played Coventry, didn't they? And that was kind of the end of their road. But incredible, incredible run that George Ellegobi kind of seemed to be on our TVs and in newspapers every single week at that point. And there will be at least one team this year who kind of gets similar treatment. Whether they get quite as far as Maidstone remains to be seen. But you know, there will be someone out there who will have a great run and perhaps are playing this weekend, not even knowing what's further down the road.
Yeah, and it's probably a number of clubs and players and managers playing this weekend, not knowing what's ahead of them. I mentioned the April weather. It's almost like the managerial merry-go-rounds on April time as well. It's a busy time again. Last week, after we'd gone to air and ahead of the weekend, I think we learned of the departures of joint managers Andy Coyle and Richie Hill up at Ashington. Max Johnson leaving Langley FC, leading to a mass exodus of players and a heavy defeat in the week. And then just down the road from Langley, we saw the departure of Jordan Ive leaving Bracknell Town. Big news today, though, on Thursday, as we're speaking, on Bracknell, the return to the dugout of former Slough Town and Beaconsfield Town manager John Underwood. A big appointment, that one.
Yeah, in you know, Under's all that success with Neil Baker, didn't he, at Slough for all those years, and but a club that he knows well, having played there at Bracknell, and you know, he the fans will remember him from those days as well, and a great opportunity for him. I can see it's the kind of club that he can do really well at because it's local to him. He knows the area so well, and it will mean a lot to him as well. So it's nice to see him back in there. And the club's kind of been on the upward rise the last sort of few years. Talking of FA Cup, they had a big FA Cup run a couple of years ago, didn't they? When they played Ipswich, and that was a big occasion for everybody down at the club. But they were close to promotions as well. Obviously had promotion that step four under Bobby Wilkinson, that all conquering side who barely conceded a goal along the way. But and they've been pushing in at step three as well. So it's a great opportunity for John to get back into the dugout, and like you say, a great one for the club as well.
Yeah, it's been a busy week with those changes. Another big departure coming on Monday was with Danny Searle being sacked at Ebbsfleet United. Again, news on Thursday of a new appointment. Harry Watling with David Kerslake in as his assistant. I guess Harry, not a big name in non-league. He certainly got a good, credible track record in mainly academy football. Also spent a spell in the US. But I guess, David Kerslake, following his pro career, he had a number of assistant roles and notably alongside Michael Appleton at Blackpool, Justin Edinburgh at Gillingham. Both of those managers, strong knowledge, strong focus on non-league. So I guess he's the man there that's got a big non-league knowledge, as well as the players that Harry would have dealt with at the academy in various local clubs to Ebbsfleet, that they're hoping can lift Ebbsfleet United back after a difficult start to the season.
Yeah, they have had a difficult start to the season. Obviously survived on the last day of last season, didn't they, on the final day against Boreham Wood, which sent Boreham Wood down. It's kind of a bit of a shootout on that afternoon. But it's been a tough start, and Danny Searle did so well to keep them up last year, and he clearly deserved the chance to move into this season, and it just hasn't quite happened. They're 8 games in, and they've only picked up 2 points with 2 draws, and obviously one of those was the other night on Tuesday night against Aldershot. So been a really difficult start, and sort of caught a bit of the interview with Chief Exec Damon Irvine kind of before the Aldershot game on Tuesday night, and he was saying, we're going to be making a long-term appointment as well. This isn't just a quick fix kind of appointment that we're looking to make. It's a long-term one, and to kind of fit in with where they're trying to go as a club generally. And this is obviously that, as you say, the appointment of Harry and kind of his background shows that it is a long-term one from that point of view. And this is the way probably football's kind of been going in recent seasons with kind of really good coaches. You see it all through the Football League, and people maybe haven't heard of some people as such, but they've got really good track record and really good out on the grass, and that's kind of where it really counts. I'm sure they'll all be, as you say, they're of experience that they'll be leaning on, and they'll we don't know, they may know a lot more about the league than anybody realises, and I'm sure they do, because there'll be lots of players that they would have come across and had maybe who are now playing in non-league. Long term, that's kind of the appointments there, but obviously there's the short term thing of trying to get some results on the board and a win, and what that will do for the team. It's still very early days, but just a win will make everybody feel better, and kind of get that sort of kind of energy and enthusiasm back into the club and get everyone feeling positive again.
Yeah, and it's right where you say these coaches, because they spend so much time with the academy footballers when they're working within the academy. Their full time roles are spending probably more time with these young footballers than their parents are. So they know the players, and when they get to a senior level, and it's that element of trust. And that I was discussing with the chairman earlier on in this week, just as an aside, that successful clubs doesn't. It doesn't matter what level they're at, but you and I get to speak to these teams week in, week out, and the successful sides seem to be the ones that feel like a family, where everybody feels comfortable with one another. That's where success seems to thrive.
Yeah, definitely. I was talking to Dover manager Jake LeBell this week, and he was kind of saying, you know, how key the change room in the dressing room is, and you know, football's kind of, he said, football's kind of second fiddle in many ways, because you need to have that really strong group, and that can kind of really rely on each other when it comes to actually playing football. You know, the 90 minutes of football is kind of one of the smallest parts of the week. They spend so much time together, training ground or travelling to games or whatever it might be. It's kind of just a small sliver, kind of at those levels and the national levels, and when you're really having to do a lot of travelling and stuff. So, change rooms are key everywhere. And as you say, you can feel it when you go to lots of different clubs at all different levels. Sometimes you can just walk in and you just get this real feeling of actually everybody's together here. Everybody, you know, really is enjoying being here. And that's not just players and management. That's kind of everybody around the club and, you know, people who've often been there years. And, it's a kind of like a tangible thing when you walk in. You can't quite explain it. Just some clubs just feel really warm when you turn up. And that's kind of what everybody, is trying to achieve.
Yeah, and you know, football is a 24/7 thing, and you know, I think people are beginning to realise it more because you can watch football on the telly 24/7. But it is that extended family off the field people as well, that need to be a support for people, because you know, as a fan, you get to know people as footballers, but they're real people as well, and a lot of them are juggling a million and one other jobs in order to support their career as a football player as well. And I think that's an important thing that you know, fans and you know, everybody involved in football needs to understand. Football's an ever-changing world, of course, and one surprise departure this week, that of Gary Meakin at Rainers Lane, who's done so well in recent years. He got them up, promoted to Step 4, won, beat my own side, Hayes and Yedding, last year in the Middlesex Senior Cup. There were just 30 people in the official attendance on Saturday to watch their league game. It wasn't good. Gary's been relieved of his job, and the club have announced a different approach to certain situations going forward. What that means, I've got no idea, but I guess it means that the things need to change at the football club.
Yeah, like you say, Gary, I feel like Gary's been around for ages as well, hasn't he? And he sort of like speaks to me, he's still in his 30s, and yeah, he's been sort of managing for ages. Nice, sort of keeps you feeling young, you know, in a weird way, but. Yeah, it's obviously his track record throughout different clubs has kind of shown that, and sometimes things just don't work, do they? So, and people move on. It's, you know, they've had a tricky start on the face of it. Four games in, still haven't got one of those wins. So, there's quite a few. It's quite a few in that Isthmian South Central. That haven't, you know. Obviously, Harrow flying at the top, 5 out of 5. So it's different contrast throughout the levels.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a name that will be popping back up when we talk about managerial merry-go-round in a few weeks' time, because I can't imagine he'd want to be out of football for far too long. Another man that won't want to be out of football too long. A big change. Yeah, he's been boss, I think, since autumn 2018 up at FC United. Neil Reynolds departing after a one-all midweek draw, leaves them third from bottom in the table. It's an interesting model, of course, at FC United, and they had so much great success early on. But I guess it also shows, every football club's different, but it comes across the same issues time and time again, both on the field and off the field. It's not easy.
It's not easy. It's definitely not. And, you know, FC United are such a great sort of success story of kind of fan ownership and what they've been able to be able to create there. But, you know, it's played on the pitch as well, isn't it? And you can't have everything your own way, and they've found it a difficult start this year in what is such a tough division. And I think you're sort of seeing that kind of now as we're going through kind of some of these managerial changes, where people are thinking, right, this is now time to change it and give us that before anything kind of too drastic, you sort of having to make up huge gaps and things, you know. A couple of wins can sort of catapult you right up, and sometimes some clubs feel it needs that early change. And it's a shame, as you say, because obviously it has been there quite a while, and you know, it's always been always picks up the phone and happy to have a chat and so enthusiastic and has so much drive and energy, as you can see, and you can see what a club managing the club has meant to him. He's always sort of talked about that. So sort of that pride that he's had, especially kind of with their European adventures in the Phoenix Trophy in recent years, and kind of all that they've been able to do in that. And, you know, as Thing vs United, not just a sort of Saturday football club, are they? Play at 3 o'clock every week. They're quite a lot more than that, and what they kind of represent and what they've been able to do as well. So that would be a job that for many people will be interested in. But kind of, I guess, shows how well they've done in the past as well under Carl Margenson as well, and what they've been able to do and in that sort of rapid rise. And I'm sure somebody would be very keen to take a club like that on.
Yeah, I'd imagine that the postman's already suffering from a bad back with the number of CV submissions going in there. Elsewhere, some other quick roundups. Down south, Jim Milligan leaves his joint manager role at Shaftesbury to take up the reins at league rivals Bemerton Heath Harlequins. Former Brockenhurst manager and old friend of the show, Pat McManus, assuming sole charge at Shaftesbury. And crowning it all off, it's Tooth out at Romulus. Yeah, Neil Tooth, he's left the Midland Leaguers. The question is, I guess, who's going to be filling the role? And will they get to the root of the problems they've had this season?
Very good.
Shall I end there?
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Well, we have just gone past 2:30 as well, haven't we? So it's probably time to stop there.
Oh, I bow, tip my hat. Have we mentioned the change at Farsley Celtic last week? And then we had a win in a clean sheet for Pav Singh there under his guidance. But it still looks like they've still got issues with their pitch. They've switched this weekend's FA Cup tie to opponents Hallam FC. Next weekend, they're going to play their home fixture at Alfreton's Impact Arena. They did announce plans to move to a 3G away from grass back in March, but I think that's all still in the planning sort of hands. I think there were pitch renovations in the summer that discovered some issues needing attention. And it looks like now their first home tie is going to be the 19th of October at home to Spennymoor Town. Big day in my life, that one, but we'll mention that later date. An example, I guess, you know, best laid plans. The club are looking at maybe moving the 3G to avoid pitch problems in the future. But it's got them before they can even deal with that. It's not easy to run a football club.
No, not easy. And I guess it sort of also shows how kind of well they've been doing. Obviously, the managerial change came as a bit of a surprise. Obviously, you know, perhaps got a history, non-league and what a good coach is and how kind of well respect he is, and he's gone got a good win at Needham Market last weekend as well. And you know, as we were saying earlier about the importance of being together as a group and as a squad, and this can be none more so at Farsley, where they're having to, you say, not kind of have their own home sort of base at the moment, and frustrating for the fans as well, I guess, to be they want that kind of continuity of turning up and seeing them. I'm sure everyone at the club is working really hard to make that happen again, and that's going to be key. But they are they're sort of ticking along quite nicely on the pitch at the moment, even if it's not their own.
it's just a game about a ball and 11 men on either side, with a few others sort of officiating. That's all it's about, really. That's all it comes down to. But I look at the National League, and I see Gateshead are still top, and they've even got a game in hand over the other people because they didn't play midweek. It's looking at that, the top of the National League in front of me here. We've got Gateshead, Rochdale, Forest Green Rovers, York City, Eastleigh, Barnet, Hartlepool. Then you go Woking, Yeovil. I mean, one of my tips for the top there, Oldham, they've had an odd start to the season. They're 11th place. Solihull Moors, 12th place. Southend United, 13th. Dagenham Redbridge, 14th. FC Halifax, 15th. Altrincham, 16th. Sutton United, 17th. I mean, I know we're early doors, eight or seven games played for most of them, but I'm sure the table's going to change a multitude of times before we even get to Christmas.
Yeah, I think it will. I think, you know, we're sort of kind of, everybody's kind of into it a little bit now, aren't they? And now you're going to sort of see teams kind of trying to put runs together. You know, like you say, look at Oldham, but they're not losing. They've only lost once. They've drawn five, which is kind of a weird opening eight games they've had there. So, you know, if they can get the ball in that net a little bit more, they'll quickly rocket up the standings, as will anybody at the moment. Kind of the you know, the way it is, it is so early. You know, look at Sutton a couple of weeks ago, you know, looking really kind of strong, and then they've had some three really difficult sort of defeats, or two particularly, you know, losing to Boston last weekend, and then in midweek to Dagenham, away at Dagenham 3-0. So they've had a tough little run there, and they've sort of slipped down. But as you say, it is so early. I think it's one of those as I've sort of got older, I've find myself become like a bit of a boring manager. So I don't look at the table until after 10 games, and I think I'm starting to go that way as well, because it's so early. It's difficult to really sort of work out exactly where everybody kind of is going to be. I think over the coming weeks, though, we'll start getting that real clear picture of what sides are about and who's going to be pushing up the top.
Yeah, and I don't know whether I'm just turning into a sad stato, or again just showing my age and sort of turning into one of the older head managers that I speak to on a daily basis. But when I look at the table now, but certainly the embryonic tables, I'm looking at the goal difference rather than the point standing. But I mean, in National North, you've again drawn to Scunthorpe United, only what a one all draw at the weekend with Warrington Town, but when you've got a plus 12 goal difference after only eight games, you're certainly setting your stall out.
Oh, yeah, I think especially when you only conceded two goals as well. I mean, they must be a miserable old lot. Those defenders are not helping out. They're not helping any old ladies across the road, are they, up there? They're sort of a mean old bunch to be only conceded two goals so far. So, yeah, great start by them. And as we sort of said before, we kind of feel that's what they would need, really, and that's what manager Andy Butler would have really been targeting, that sort of really strong start that kind of gets them up and running really quickly, because you don't want any of those kind of early seasons, which you often see those up and down results early in the season, because you know, kind of the fans will be really, really getting behind them, and they'll be starting to see, right, okay, this is the sort of side we've got this year, and kind of can we keep our foot down and start pulling away from the rest. But you know, Kersnashan only 4 points back so far, and what a great season they're having again under Craig Marnie. You know, he sort of did a brilliant job last year, got him in the playoffs, and great to see him go. And Priest always get Chorley up there as well, and Chester had a got a funny little start, didn't they? I think they lose their first two, and just talking about runs, you know, since then they've been flying there up there, and then more big hitters falling behind, Hereford and Kidderminster. I mean, what a division that is, really. You know, when you sort of think Scunthorpe in there, but you throw in some of the other names as well, and yeah, so it's a fantastic division to watch, and kind of one of those you're sort of glad you don't have a team in the fight, so you can sort of sit back and just enjoy it and have that entertainment of watching it all unfold.
Yeah, and then it's similarly across the leagues as well. So you look at the North West Counties for Football League, you've got Bury FC a sixth in the table there, but again, they've got, what, two games in hand, everybody else. I think Bury are now 13 unbeaten in the League and Cup this season, still in the FA Cup, still in the FA Vars. As I say, 3 points off the top, two games in hand. It just shows how that, if you just look at the table at face value, it doesn't tell the whole story. There's going to be clubs coming through and grabbing the headlines, as I say, by Christmas and come the end of the season.
Yeah, I think definitely this time of the season as well, as we say, with the FA Cup and FA Trophy rolling around so much so quickly, it's you know, clubs can sort of take a little while to really get going in the league. You know, just a minute ago, we were talking about Harrow being 5 from 5 at the top of the Isthmian's South Central. And you look, all think, full final down in ninth, but they only played two games. They won both of them. They scored 10 goals and they conceded one. So, you know, that's not bad. There's a couple like that as well. You know, Kingstonian, they've only played three. They've won two of them. Hartley Whitney have only played two and they've won both of those. So it's yeah, it does take a little while, really, at the start of the season, particularly with all the trophy and the Vars and the cup games that kind of, you know, if you're having decent little runs in there, or if you're starting in that competition earlier and not getting your league games in, then it can take a little while to kind of shake out from that point of view. Again, I think we sort of mentioned about it last week at Cray Valley. I think I remember bringing Steve McKim, it felt like it was in October, and they'd only played about five league games because of their cup and trophy runs. So, yeah, it does take a little while to get going, particularly for step 4, 5 and 6 clubs.
Yeah, and I mentioned that as well, crowds again this week, non-league crowds, and at non-league crowds on Twitter, on X, a post out at step one last weekend, 5-6-2-2 at Oldham, 4-4-3-2 at step two for Scunthorpe, step three, I think, was over 1,200 at Chatham. We mentioned that the 30 at Rainers Lane, that was the only game, I think, across step three, step four last week, because everybody else was in action in the FA Trophy, which I think the top crowd there was over 1,000 at Hensford. Yeah, step five, Isle of Man getting over 2,000, and Thornton Cleverleys in the North West Counties Division 1, well, they had nearly 500 down at step six. It does seem, and certainly with the games that I've been, there seems to be more people going to games than even I was expecting, which is a great sign for football.
Yeah, I think it's, again, as we've so often said, it shows the real strength of the football in this country, the pyramid in this country. You know, I can't believe that there's many other kind of countries around the world. You know, obviously we don't have the same sort of structure as we do, but are there 10th tier games with sort of that sort of amount of people? I just can't, you know, I can't believe that there are. I mean, someone may tell me differently, but you know, I went to Bury Town against Newmarket Town on Tuesday night. It was Suffolk Derby, and can't quite remember off the top of my head what the crowd was. It was around 500, might have been a bit over that. But you know, it was a grim old night as well. I was sort of driving across there, absolutely pouring down with rain. It's getting dark, and thinking, oh, we're getting into that part of the season. But you know, you obviously got England on the telly and things like that. That doesn't help, and it's sort of feeling cold. Everyone's got, you know, back to school, just got back, and all that kind of stuff. And but no, there's still like a really good crowd. A really good crowd there, and enjoyed a really interesting, fascinating game. And you say that sort of replicated all over the place, and will be sort of throughout the winter. And even as the weather gets even worse, there'll be so many hardy souls travelling around and popping down to the local clubs and standing out and watching a good game.
And I'll expect in this weekend's non-league paper plenty of mentions of the hardy support out in all weathers this weekend, watching FA Cup ties, plenty of league action as well. I guess maybe some FA Trophy previews in this weekend's paper. But anything else you want to flag up for us ahead of the weekend's issue?
Yeah, we've got, as you say, all of the above there, with the big FA Cup games, all those games covered, all the National League action as well. And there's quite a bit of league action at step three, and well, not loads at step three, but some quite a bit at step four as well. So all the action as you'd kind of expect. As I said, I spoke to Jake LaBelle at Dover after their sort of fantastic win against Dartford last weekend. I've caught up with Bobby Wilkinson at Hemel Hempstead, who's there sort of flying as well. Yeah. It's always a good week, this one, because not many are in league action because of the FA Cup. You can't curse them, you can't ring them up and put the NLP, the famous NLP curse that we sort of quite often hang over people. So, yeah, I've got all that in there. I've got Greg Robertson's writing a column this week, and looking at kind of, as we were talking earlier about coaches and some of these non-league players who are going on and having great coaching careers, and how kind of difficult that is, and how they have to really prove themselves. Mm. All the kind of other usual bits and pieces you'd expect. We've got bits in there, Forest Green, Solihull Moors. Hopefully speaking to new FC manager Harry Watling tomorrow, so that should be in there as well. So yeah, lots to get in on another busy weekend in non-league football.
And of course, non-league paper not just for your Sunday morning read. Plenty going on Twitter, on X as well. I would highly recommend the Daily Pick Fun at non-league paper. Keeping my brain alive every day. And sometimes I identify them correctly, but other times I need to work on my identification of some ex-players, I think. But
some of those ex-players are tricky, and then some of the grounds, we've done some grounds in recent weeks as well, and they can be sort of I know where that is, and then it turns out you don't. So yeah, all good fun, and so I guess, you know, all shows off our non-league knowledge or lack of it.
Yeah, indeed. thanks as ever, Matt. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
And we come to the end of another week. So that's it this time around. Don't forget to get involved on social media at Non-League Show, and myself at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And as ever, find us every week on Audioboom, on Apple Podcasts, Also, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.